Ladies and gentlemen, we are here on case 13-2008, Henry Smith versus Yin H. Chen Dio et al. The appellant, Mr. Leek.
Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court. My name is Doug Leek, and I'm here on behalf of the defendants, appellants, Dr. Yin Chen and his medical group, Ortho Neuro. We ask that you reverse the 10th District Court of Appeals decision in order to restore the work product doctrine with regard to surveillance videos for the purposes of impeachment. This case deals with the work product doctrine pursuant to Civil Rule 26B3. And the 10th District has basically stripped a litigant's ability to fully prepare their case and to investigate all the claims and be able to impeach an adversary upon cross-examination. Civil Rule 26B3 is Ohio's work product doctrine. In Jackson versus Gregor, this court addressed the work product doctrine, and it held that the purpose of it is to allow litigants the opportunity to fully prepare their cases and to investigate both favorable and unfavorable aspects of a case.
Counsel, in this particular case, my understanding is that the rationale for allowing the plaintiff to view the work product here was to check its authenticity, that it would be done so that if it would be used, there was no manipulation by the defendant.
And I think this is where we have to get to the distinction of this particular surveillance video for the purposes of impeachment versus a surveillance for the purposes of substantive evidence. And the reason here is that it has not yet materialized that the surveillance video in this case will be used. It would only be used in the event that the plaintiff contradicted prior testimony or the limitations.
Has the plaintiff's deposition been taken?
Yes, and that's one of the issues that they addressed.
So there's already testimony under oath that the individual is incapable of swinging a golf club. And the surveillance video allegedly shows him swinging away on all of the holes in the 18, on the 18 from 1 through 18 on the fairways.
So
if you have that kind of testimony, how does it impair your presentation of the surveillance video as an impeachment tool?
First of all, with regard, I want to finish on the authenticity. We were talking about authenticating it, and I will lead us to the deposition. We believe that on cross-examination, if this is used, if an issue comes up about being authenticated, it can be addressed at that time, and this would only occur at cross-examination. In response to your question about the use of it, you know, in light of a deposition, they still have free rein to explain things at trial.
And let me ask you this. At trial, you'd have the opportunity to call the plaintiff as your first witness as if on cross-examination, right?
On the defense side, but no, the plaintiff will already have testified in the plaintiff's case in chief. So we will be using that in the plaintiff's case in chief during our cross-examination.
And presumably there'll be a deposition and there'll be the testimony, right?
Correct. And we could use the deposition for cross-examination purposes if they contradict themselves.
What prejudice falls to you in disclosing the surveillance video?
The prejudice here is that between the time of the deposition and the time of trial, if they then get this surveillance video that contradicts what they've already said, they will have the opportunity to tailor their testimony, explain away what they anticipate would be used at trial.
But counsel, isn't that the real reason of discovery? It seems to me that trial courts have broad discretion in deciding when to file a motion to compel. We understand that work product is pretty sacred and you don't want to be giving it away for free, right? But
right.
Don't the courts also have an obligation to see that we're not having a trial by ambush? Because in this case, they're alleging that video may have been doctored. Isn't that what they're alleging? How can they do that at trial?
Well, let's look at this different. The point here, and the reason I bring up the Jackson case, is that the Jackson case dealt with substantive evidence with the work product and whether or not it was relevant to the elements of the case. The 8th District Court of Appeals, also in the Sutton versus Stephen Payton Corporation case, dealt with a work product issue and the surveillance. The importance about those cases is that the surveillance tape in the Sutton case went to the elements of the case of invasion of privacy, infliction of emotional distress.
Well, clearly here, this video goes directly to the elements of the burden that the plaintiff must prove that his neck is injured and he can't play golf.
Here is the distinction. If we intended to use that as substantive evidence to dispute their damages, we would have an obligation to identify it as an exhibit in our trial brief and say we are going to present this surveillance video as substantive evidence in our case in chief. The difference here is that we were not intending to use the surveillance video as substantive evidence on the element of damages.
Counsel, then how did this video even come up? How did the plaintiffs become aware of the video?
Defense counsel disclosed it on the eve of trial, and they then requested to be able to review it over the weekend. So yes, it was disclosed that it would be used for cross-examination purposes. And I think that's the distinction here. And when we get to good cause, as this court held in Jackson versus Gregor, that for a work product exception, they have the burden of proof to show good cause.
But wait, just to clarify that point, if defense counsel disclosed it, you're on the eve of trial, defense counsel discloses, we have a video we intend to use for cross-examination. Why is that not enough that at that point it becomes discoverable?
And I think that's, once again, getting back to the point of, do we have to disclose everything we're going to use for impeachment?
But you've already said you're going to use it. Is it because you said we might, that it would only be used on?
And I think that's one of the issues that we've raised in the brief and the amicus briefs have brought up, that this may not even materialize at trial, but could only do so if the plaintiff contradicted prior testimony or on the stand contradicted limitations or what can be done.
Would defense counsel have had the opportunity or the option of not saying anything at that point?
Yes, and I think it goes back to our point that if we are going to use this as substantive evidence on the element of damages, and that's the key here, this surveillance video was not going to be used for any of the elements. And getting back to the good cause, and this is, it all ties in, because in Jackson, this court said in order to prove good cause, they have to show that it is relevant or otherwise unavailable. We are of the position that a surveillance video for the purposes of impeachment, that's the crux of this case, it's limited to impeachment purposes, is not relevant to the three elements of medical malpractice, standard of care, proximate cause,
damages. But counsel, if we were to adopt your standard, then everything you did in preparation for trial, you could say to yourself, well, self, we're not going to use this, and therefore it's not discoverable.
No, we would have to disclose, if we're going to use medical records as substantive evidence. That's the key. The rules of discovery.
I'm having a problem here. This is substantive evidence, is it not? It goes directly to whether or not the person is injured.
No, it's going to be used just for the purposes of credibility, veracity.
Who says that?
That was the intent of this video, not going to be.
Why wouldn't that be discoverable? I mean, I've looked at Alabama, Rhode Island, Florida, New Jersey, Wisconsin. All of these states have said if it's a surveillance video and you have a deposition and you know where the plaintiff's position is and it's on record, then you have a duty to disclose. What's unfair about that?
Well, we've cited the Wisconsin case of Ramft versus Lyons that, just like this, says it is not discoverable. Once again, if we're going to use this video for the purposes of damages and say these are the, this is what he can do, we're going to present it, we have an obligation to mark that as a trial exhibit. Let me use an analogy.
Counsel, how do you determine when you have to and when you don't have to? Is that subjectively in your own mind what you intend to use it for? And there's no bright line, it's just whatever you decide you want to do on this case or that case?
Well, I think there is a room for trial tactics.
Well, what are you asking us to do here? We're going to write a rule of law emanating from this case to apply to 720 courts around the state of Ohio. And what are we supposed to tell them? Whatever the defense counsel thinks he wants to use it for is the way we'll let it go? What rule of law do you want?
Our rule of law that we ask here is consistent with the Jackson versus Gregor case, interpreting good cause, that when materials are used for trial purposes, for cross-examination purposes, impeachment, and have a higher level of protection for work product materials, which everyone agrees
is this is a factual determination to be made by a trial court on a case-by-case basis? Is that what you're telling us?
I believe this evidence has special protection, impeachment, that the law, the statement of law would be for evidence used for impeachment purposes, that its work product is protected.
You think evidence used for impeachment is not discoverable?
An analogy. Can I just use an analogy? We have adopted the learned treaties doctrine here. We can use medical literature as substantive evidence. If we are going to use medical literature as substantive evidence, we have an obligation to produce that if it's requested upon discovery. If we have an expert witness that gets on the stand that contradicts what he or she had previously written, or there's literature that contradicts that expert's witness, we should have the ability to use that literature without previously producing it in order to attack the credibility. The whole purpose of impeachment under Evidence Rule 607 and 613.
That seems markedly different from what we're talking about here. I think you would agree the purpose of the civil rules today is to avoid surprises and to keep the trials run as efficiently as possible. And we're not talking about, I assume, if we don't decide your way, we would still stay on track with what happened in this case, that you have to at least have the plaintiff's deposition. So you've got the plaintiff's feet in concrete already because you've deposed the plaintiff.
Right.
In terms of the plaintiff's claims about what was the plaintiff could do and not do after these surgeries. But you keep saying, but we're only going to use it to impeach him. And I'm reminded of the cartoon of the jury's there in the box and their eyes are all popping out and the judge says, well, the jury will disregard that last comment. You use him for impeachment, but it sure as heck is going to have an impact on damages as well. It's going to cross over and it will influence the jury. And more importantly, disclosure of it ahead of time could very well be used by plaintiff's counsel to say, well, Joe, they've really got you here. We ought to settle this case. And that's also something that the civil rules try to help to achieve, is settle cases that the parties decide this really shouldn't go to trial at this point.
Well, the 10th District has basically eliminated the work product protection altogether for surveillance videos. Because if they follow your interpretation of good cause and apply it to impeachment evidence, then every surveillance video has to be produced. There is no production. So that eliminates the work product.
Well, and I saw your video. I think it was in your brief, the analogy to, well, this is frequently done in the case of workers' comp, used all the time. But why wouldn't we want those disclosed at the earliest possible time so that those cases can be closed up? And sometimes I assume the plaintiff's lawyer may have no idea that his or her client is lying to him about what they can or can't do. That happens, doesn't it?
But there is no guarantee, especially in a medical malpractice case, that if we say we have a video and we produce it to them, that that case is going to be voluntarily dismissed. I think the prejudice is to us if we produced that a video.
Well, I'm not suggesting it be dismissed, but the number that's being requested could be adjusted, well, certainly.
But once again, I think that we are being, if we do our homework and we prepare our cases that the work product doctrine guarantees us that right, and we feel we have something good that we're going to be able to use at trial, not to ambush them on the substantive
evidence.
Well,
that's exactly what you want to ambush, don't you?
No, you're really the plaintiff here, the injured party, knows their capability. They know if they've been out playing golf. They know, you know, and what they represent in their deposition may be very different than what your surveillance. So there is really no surprise element here to the plaintiff to say, you know, you've just testified that you're, you know, of this particular condition, but would you take a look at this video and explain how you're able to do all these things? And so there is no surprise element.
That's one of the points that we've made in our brief, that what is on that video is the truth. And so they should be able to say.
But you would agree if there is indication of manipulation of the video or authenticity, that should be the trial stopped and a time taken to authenticate or rebut whatever. And you have no problem with that.
I have no problem whatsoever.
One of the things that I noticed here is that, you know, the court, of course, hung its hat on the authenticity and the need to authenticate this video as being the reason for disclosure, the production of the document. But that is markedly different than they didn't argue that this would be surprise or this would be unfair advantage or be used even for the substantive portion of the trial. That wasn't before the lower court, those arguments.
I think that the issue was get it into the hands of them so they can authenticate it.
Right.
Our position is that this will not materialize until the time of trial if there is a contradictory statement. And if need be, in terms of the authenticity of it, that can be addressed at that time. Once again,
at what point would you address authenticity or certification?
At the time, if we cross-examination, if there's a question.
Prior to showing it or subsequent to showing it?
I think there could be a voir dire situation where the jury's excused, the judge can entertain, we have to present someone, a videographer, the surveillance person. That could be a voir dire situation, which is not uncommon. But once again, we do our homework in these cases with the hope that we're protected.
Would the plaintiff have an opportunity to examine it for authenticity?
I believe at that time, those issues in voir dire can be addressed on their concerns with it.
With an expert?
Whatever it would take and then whatever the judge thinks. But once again, this is our work product. We do this in anticipation in case someone contradicts himself. Just like we get depositions of experts around the country, we have those ready so we can cross-examine them when there is a contradictory
statement. And counsel, I want to make clear, when you're talking about using it for cross-examination, you would not then, in your case, be offering it into evidence. It would not go back to the jury in the deliberation room. It isn't considered other than just the questions and answers that happen on cross-examination.
Exactly. We would not identify it as an exhibit. We would not identify it as substantive evidence. We would not argue it in our damages. We would argue it that the credibility of this particular patient is at question here because this video contradicts their position.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Schroyer.
Madam Chief Justice, may it please the court. The defendant wants to create a special rule for impeachment evidence that allows for its first revelation and surprise at trial during the cross-examination of a witness.
Why shouldn't that be allowed?
Why is that a surprise?
It's a surprise what's on the videotape. We still don't even know today.
It's a surprise to your client that he can play golf?
Well, the case has been pending for 4 years, and he wasn't playing golf, but
well,
I understand
whatever,
the analogy.
The activity was that
I've been told that the defense told me that one of the things is he put groceries in the back seat of his car, but they wouldn't tell me virtually anything else about it, so I don't know. The interesting thing about this case is our client had very interesting spinal cord injury for which he initially was fully paralyzed and then gradually has regained virtually great control now. He has very subtle deficits in his ability to rise and his fine motor manipulation. One of the reasons I told the court is we'll have to have our expert come back and look at this video at trial and try to determine, are these consistent or inconsistent? I told the defense counsel, you show me doing squats, we'll dismiss the case. Still won't show the video. The whole point is this affects the orderly administration of justice.
Counsel, do you think defense counsel was obligated to disclose at the time that they did?
What they did is they listed witnesses that I didn't know who they were, and it turned out they were the videographers. Then I made a request under 24 for the tape. At that point, then, they would have an obligation to disclose because we were able to show to the court good cause for the exception of the privilege.
The good cause was the authenticity angle.
Well, I said in my brief, both authenticity, was it even our client, and two, an opportunity to cross-examine on the content and the significance of it, too.
But you didn't argue that this would be inappropriate use on cross-examination. You agree that a video can be used specifically for the purposes of cross-examination.
Oh, sure.
To catch, I mean, and to either attack or call into question the credibility.
Yes, the defense wants to use it as the gotcha moment. Is it truly a gotcha moment? There's false gotcha moments, too.
Well,
we're
right,
only saying
and
disclosure.
What was said is that if it is a question of, is that even my client? You know, it's such a grainy representation. It's not, there's other issues with this. Those can be sorted out prior to its use at trial. Can they not?
And they should in discovery. We shouldn't air all our dirty laundry in front of the court and make the jury wait, make the judge wait, have my expert come in.
Well, it happens all the time.
Well, it does, but it would happen a lot more if we didn't have open discovery.
Well, are you saying that you always get materials that are being used to impeach the credibility of the plaintiff ahead of time?
If I make a discovery request and it's not available in the public domain or unavailable to me, and I can show good cause to the judge, yes.
And what's your good cause typically?
Well, it typically comes up in the context of these videos, and it would be authenticity, when was it taken, are there clips outside, are there 5 hours of videotape and they're only showing 5 minutes, are we showing one golf hole or the same golf hole 18 times?
But that's all stuff that's being, you would talk about at trial, would it not be?
Well, we'd have to take a timeout. And we'd have to say, Judge, can we call our expert in? Can we look at it? Can we spend 5 hours looking at this, take the night to look at it, call
right.
the expert in, call my expert back to the stand to say, are these inconsistent or consistent with the injuries of which you'd described? So it's a delay in justice, and that's one of the reasons that we value open discovery to, one, weed out cases, settle cases, dismiss cases, and then when we go to trial, we're not having reduces side disputes. It eliminates errors, mistrials.
Mr. Leak claims that this is attorney work product. How do you respond to that argument? We generally don't disclose documents that attorneys have prepared for their own use at trial.
That's true. And there's basically work product falls into two categories, kind of ordinary facts and mental impressions of the attorney. The well-recognized exception to that is if there's a good cause to view and get that evidence. In other words, if it was evidence that was widely available, like a prior conviction of the defendant or my client, I don't need that because that's available out there. But a videotape is specially made evidence. It's unique evidence. Let's suppose the defense went out and took a photograph of the accident scene, and since then all the trees have been cut down or the road has been changed. Now there's only one photograph of that. That perhaps in a judge's opinion would be good cause for the exception to the work product rule.
Should this be done on a case-by-case basis, or
absolutely.
Do we need some bright-line rule, or where do we go here?
I say we stick with the exact, it would be that the work product privilege does not shield discovery of evidence, whether it is substantive or impeachment, if a proper discovery request has been made and the court, in its discretion, finds good cause for its disclosure. It's
what about,
that simple.
What about the necessity of a deposition?
Well, that's interesting. There are 13 Supreme Courts have ruled on this issue, and it's been presented. All 13 said there should be disclosure prior to trial. Now, some said the proper balance to strike is after the defendant's deposition or after the plaintiff's deposition. But I would think that would be up again to the court's discretion to determine if good cause exists before or after the deposition, and leave it up to the trial court. They have pretty good handle on what's appropriate or not, and applying their discretion to the individual facts of the case. I would point out that this, you know, if we reverse the roles, if it was my client who took a video phone in.
Well, it's obviously going to apply the other way.
Oh, it very well could. You know, with Google Glass and everybody's got a little video camera in their pocket, I could imagine a videotape of a doctor. We often see patients who are still treating with the doctor they believe was negligence. Videotape of a doctor, I think that's absolutely discoverable by the other side. A proper discovery request I would turn over. So what's, in this case, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I'm up here advocating for open discovery in Ohio, not whether it's by the plaintiff or the defendant. It should be both. If we create an exception for impeachment evidence having a special little category, trust me, the plaintiff's bar is going to abuse it, and so is the defense bar.
I don't think it's impeachment evidence. It occurs to me that it's work product, attorney work product. This seems to be the crux of this from my reading.
Yeah, and then we need to show good cause to get evidence from the work product. And the court and the Court of Appeals, the court found good cause, and the Court of Appeals found there was no abuse of discretion.
So you do not disagree that this is work product?
Well, you know, the record's not totally clear on that. I don't know if the insurance carrier went out and did this on their own or if it was at the instruction of the attorney. There's nothing on the record about that. But for the purposes of this argument, I guess we could assume it is work product.
Okay.
But I'm not willing to absolutely concede that, because there could be situations developed that are not work product. And I don't know.
And then how would those fit into this, how you would like us to write on this case?
Well, if it's not work product, then there would be no showing of good cause necessary.
Okay.
But your showing of good cause is just that you need to authenticate it. So you have you don't see any distinction in what counsel was talking about in that this is not substantive evidence. It's not going to go back to the jury. It's simply going to be used for cross-examination. And you're saying if we know about a tape, then we should get it and say we want to authenticate it, and that's good cause.
Well, I think that's up for the judge to determine. And I think in all likelihood it would be enough, but that would be up for the judge to determine. In this case, is there a good cause? The court may weigh into a whole bunch of different factors into that analysis. But
The judge could say, for example, we will allow you to look at it before it's used for impeachment, and you would find that sufficient?
Well, it depends on when. I would like to know before the trial starts. Because if we don't, then we're frustrating the whole purpose of open discovery in Ohio, and directly contrary to even 13 other courts, Supreme Courts that have addressed this across the country. So it's a matter of timing. You know, discovery merely says, instead of finding everything at trial, we're going to move the timeline back and find out everything before trial, so then we can settle cases, dismiss cases, resolve them, or when we do go to trial, there's a whole lot less harangue going on and we're down to the issues and have efficiency in doing it.
So are you saying that anything used for cross-examination is open for discovery? And if you know that there are going to be treatises used in cross-examination, you want to have those turned over as well?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's no distinction between substantive or impeachment evidence. In this case, it's clearly substantive and probably impeachment, too. There's that overlap in this particular case.
It's not going to be substantive evidence.
Well, see, that's interesting argument. He wants to put the label on it, and so now we're going to let lawyers label what's substantive and what's impeachment.
But isn't it substantive when it's offered into evidence, it's admitted by the court, it then goes back into the deliberation room with the jury? That's the substantive evidence we're talking about.
No. A substantive evidence can be testimony that doesn't go back into the courtroom. It can just be viewing the video and considering as whether the person is injured or not. But so there shouldn't be a distinction by this court between impeachment and substantive. I think there's very little difference in that. But you could find that a prior conviction is substantive only, or impeachment only and not substantive.
But
go back to your question.
Counsel said that if this video was used to show one of the elements, in, you know, which is the damages resulting from this surgery, clearly that would be substantive.
Absolutely.
And it was referred to that way. But here, the use and how it is communicated to the jury would take it out of the realm of, I'm offering this to prove X, Y, and Z. I'm offering this to show you. Instead, it's, I'm offering this to show you that Mr. Smith here contradicted himself, under oath?
Well, the contradiction would have to be a substantive contradiction to be admissible. And if it has to do with his injuries or whether he can do things or not, that goes to the actual substantive evidence in the case. But we're not saying that all impeachment or all substantive evidence is disclosable based on work product, because learned treatises are available to everyone. Everyone has access to learned treatises. The reason this exception applies for good cause is one of the reasons is this tape is not available to me. I haven't seen it. I can't go out and look at it. And that's the difference.
So the quality or the creation of the evidence is going to dictate pretty much whether this is subject to discovery.
I think partially true. Let me give you an example. Let's say witness statements. I've gone out and interviewed 5 witnesses, and I have witness statements from my investigator. The other side says, I want them. I'm saying, go interview the witnesses yourself. They're available to you. I don't think there's good cause to disclose that. However, if the defense has interviewed a witness who has since died, and I've got an 804 exception for the declarant being unavailable, that might be good cause for a judge to disclose that so we can read that statement to the jury.
How about the statement that I'd love to depose them or interview them, but they won't talk to me? So therefore, I need opposing counsel's interview notes and substance.
Well, I think a request for deposition and order from the court might be more appropriate, but if the court finds they're unavailable because, for instance, they've now got a mental illness or they're debilitated, that would be what the trial court would determine.
I'm just saying they don't want to cooperate.
I think they have to answer questions in a deposition. That's the beauty of open discovery and getting evidence. But if there was some circumstance where that occurred, then the court would determine if that's good cause or not. And so we leave it up to the trial court to make that discretionary call. I would point out, when we talk about the importance of open discovery, the 13 Supreme Courts that have ruled on this issue have used some interesting language on criticizing the limits of discovery on not disclosing this type of evidence before trial. Minnesota talked about, we're not going to endorse the poker hand concept of litigation. Delaware, the sporting theory of justice. Mississippi, trial by ambush. Louisiana, policy of secrecy. And Connecticut, blind man's bluff. Utah, trickery. South Carolina, guessing game. And that's what it will turn into. I just want to stress, I guess, that if it was the other way around, the parties could be exactly opposite and would probably be making the same arguments. I think this is a determination for enforcing open discovery, which is going to result in, I believe, a more orderly presentation. And it's a balancing test. I understand that. And the courts, I think, have properly applied that by using the good cause in this particular case. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Leake, you've used your time. You may take a minute.
Thank you. What the 10th District has done here is taken something that is clearly work product and has stripped that label. Video surveillances is work product. Under the 10th District now, this good cause issue that the court addressed in the Jackson versus Gregory case has basically said that all they have to prove then is an issue about how authenticated in order to authenticate it. That is enough to strip work product and our ability to fully prepare.
So if we flip the case and Mr. Schroyer has a video of your physician, your client, say physician in this instance, who happened into a bar in the morning and several shots of him drinking before he got to the operating room, and disclose that he has a work product video, which he's going to use after testimony, would you think you'd be entitled to see that video before trial or not?
It's how they're going to identify it. If he's going to identify that as substantive evidence that drinking in the bar...
No, he's going to use it for impeachment after your client testifies.
And I think it becomes material. If there comes a time, have you ever had a drink in a bar? And the doctor says no.
Well, you have to wait till that question gets asked?
That's part of our position here. It's when the contradictory statement is made.
So you would say that if Mr. Schroyer had such a video or some video of that ilk, you would not seek that as his work product during the course of discovery, but only after the testimony was there and the particular question was asked. Am I understanding your argument correctly?
It goes both ways that this is an
impeachment. I can't hear you.
Yes, it goes both ways. Plaintiffs, defendants, it applies
equally. I'm asking you about that instance.
Yes.
If you would not seek that video in discovery, correct?
If my discovery request was, do you have any videos that go to the standard of care and your allegations that this doctor was negligent, if you have any video of this doctor...
No, counsel, I think you're misunderstanding Justice O'Donnell's question. He's talking about, your doctor has testified, I've never drank before surgery, and then they have a video 3 weeks later of him drinking at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I think it's the same situation as if a plaintiff contradicts himself. I agree that it applies equally to both sides then.
I'm trying to get your position. Would you think you would be entitled to that on discovery or not entitled to that on discovery?
If it's used as substantive evidence
to
prove the
element. It's a work product, as Mr. Schroyer would contend.
Right, because then it gets to the good cause issue of what this court held, that it's got to be relevant.
Are you claiming you're entitled to it or not entitled to it?
Under good cause, under Jackson versus Greger, if it's work product, good cause, and relevant to the elements of the case, I am entitled to it.
But in his hypothetical, his deposition has been taken, your doc, and he said, no, I never have done that. So now the lawyer on the other side is saying, oh, this is only being offered for purposes of showing he lies. It has nothing to do with the standard of care because it doesn't indicate that he was drunk on the morning that he did the surgery. It's just to show that he lied when he told us in the deposition he'd never done that.
It has to happen at trial then. If that question is asked of a witness who says, I've never drank before,
in his deposition. No, in his deposition he's asked that. Well, I'm trying to make it just like this case.
The video after a deposition may contradict the deposition. We're talking about trial, though, that they cannot then attack our credibility in their case in chief with a video then. They would have to have the doctor on the stand or any other witness that denies that what's on that video. Just like if the plaintiff says, I can't move it, I can't pick this up, we have that video you can cross-examine. That's the purpose. When they make that contradiction, that is when the use of impeachment work product surveillance video is...
Standing, you would not be entitled to that video on discovery, correct? Prior to trial. You would not seek it, and you would not be entitled to it.
I would be entitled to it if my discovery request was, do you have any videos that go to the elements of your medical negligence case, i.e. negligence? Are you alleging that this doctor was intoxicated at the time of the surgery?
But he's only alleging that he's a liar, not that he was intoxicated at
here. Our point here, is that goes to the credibility and impeachment. And what the question here was, if the allegation is that the doctor was intoxicated and was negligent, I can make that discovery request and get that, because it goes to the requisite element.
I don't think you've ever answered his question.
Thank you, Mr. Leake.
Thank you.
All right. Marshall, will you adjourn court, please?